Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. Hey, I have a great iTunes review for you today. It's from Hippie Diva. She says, all around magical. I love these podcasts. I listen on my ride home from work and I get so into them that I don't want the ride to end. Super motivating, and I always feel my inner magic come to life. Keep up the great work, Kim. Much love and light to you. Oh, that just makes my heart go pitter-pat. I love making sure that the episodes that I'm bringing you are giving you actionable information. You know, we've taken so much information, but I really want these episodes so for you to be able to say, you know what, I can do that. I got that. And thank you so much, Hippie Diva, for sharing that with me. If you'd like to share your opinion about Fit Girl Magic Podcast, please be sure to leave me a 5-star review on any podcast application that you're listening to. All right. So today's episode is all about style. And I invited my good friend, Carrie Montgomery, to join me. She helps us understand how to wear clothes that don't feel like a freaking costume, how to be fashionable yet classic. And she also walked us through the capsule wardrobe. I wasn't too clear on that, but she broke it down really great for us. So have a listen in. And always, I love feedback. So please make sure you reach out to me and let me know what you think about this episode. Here's Carrie. Good morning, Magic Makers. It's Kim again. And today I am talking with my good friend, Carrie Montgomery. She and I met in a mastermind several years ago, and we stayed in touch. And the thing I loved about her is, well, first of all, let me tell you what we're going to talk about. We're talking all about fashion, but not in a fashion sense that makes you feel like a Kardashian. We're talking about timeless, classic fashion, and how do you feel good in your clothes? And why I have Carrie on the show today is because she talks about clothes, I talk about feeling comfortable, but it both blends. And she's all about how do you feel comfortable in your body, in your clothes. We all know we have those people. I'm one of them. I hate getting dressed. Give me my yoga pants, give me my fleece, and I'm good to go. But from time to time, I need to put on some big girl pants. So today, Carrie's going to help us. How do we feel fit and comfortable in our clothing? Hey, Carrie, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on here, Kim. I'm super excited to chat.
Yeah, so Carrie's coming to us from Ibiza. This is like the most exotic locale I've ever had on my podcast.
I love it.
So Carrie, tell the listeners a little bit about how you have a very rich resume, but tell people how you came to, you know, fashion. How did you come to this work?
Yeah, I've always loved style. And it's, I would say that it's more style than fashion, because fashion is like just the clothing and style is like the whole entire embodiment. And when we look at like how we feel versus like what we're supposed to look like, there's a lot of dichotomy, right? Like,
you know, exactly.
If you look at a magazine, you're supposed to look a certain way, and it's usually an hourglass figure or a waif and super skinny and emaciated. And that's just not how the average woman looks. And it can be a really painful journey for a lot of women. And when I was younger, I always wanted to be a model, but I was considered too big. But I was also not big enough to be a plus size model. So I felt like I didn't fit in anywhere. So I ended up going into acting and film production, and I made movies for a living for about 7 years, and I ran a film union in New Mexico worked with incredible actors like Cate Blanchett, Ron Howard, Val Kilmer, I mean, you name it, the list goes on. And, you know, I learned everything about the industry and how much I wasn't comfortable working that way. I love the creative process, but I was not made, my body was not made for working on movies. Sets. The hours are insane.
Oh,
and I don't mind like throwing myself in for some work, but it just wasn't a fit for me. So I went into sales and marketing. I learned how to tell story for large companies, specifically health companies. So I was teaching doctors nutrition and reversing chronic health conditions through lifestyle medicine. So I was also a health coach inside their offices. And I have my own health journey. And that really started from when I was 18, I broke my back. When I came out of the surgery, I knew that life was different. I knew that I was not the same person. I had had an experience when I was under that I knew there was another world. And it was beyond what was here on this plane that we all can see. It's taken me years to really figure that out and feel comfortable with it and like feel into it. But I also have been navigating the health journey for like the past 25 years as there's been complications. So my last surgery, my 13th surgery, was my hysterectomy about 5 years ago. And it was emergent. It was a life-saving surgery. I spent 20 years having surgeries to keep my uterus. And all of a sudden, it was like, okay, how are we going to live life now? Like, you really need to have like a solid purpose. But I also wanted to be like enthusiastic about what I was doing. And I felt super drained. I'd already left my corporate life and I was coaching and running, you know, online programs, but I was still feeling drained by just the coaching aspect. I was pretty devastated. I created a group of women. I pulled them together. So I created a mastermind in Maine with a group of women. I kind of retreated to Maine for my health. And there they started, I was really in the inquiry process of like, how do I evolve this? And the answer was creativity. So
right.
I just had to like, you know, I am an artist. I was an AP art student. I, you know, in the survival of life, I kind of abandoned that. Like I just didn't know how to apply it. And now I know art can show up in so many different ways. These women started asking me to style their photo shoots, and then I would get another client, and then I get another client, and then I got a magazine gig. And then it was like, you know, it was just, I had a full portfolio within a year, and it was like, I didn't do anything,
right,
but show up and do what was asked. And it was really just like a natural gift. When I went through B school, Marie Forleo's program, I kept writing like fashion. I don't understand why I keep writing fashion, but I really like wanted to get away from healing and medical world and sales and marketing. So like fashion kept coming up and I didn't know what I wanted to do with it. And I had zero qualifications except for that I knew how to dress well. I knew how to work with my body. And then all of a sudden women started asking me to do it. And after about a year of styling and producing photo shoots and being on set and on location, you know, I realized it's still, you know, being on set consistently is not great for my physical well-being, and I needed some more stability. So I saw this pattern inside women, and men also, but I chose to work with women. There's a feeling of like, not confident, not comfortable, struggling with how they look, having body image issues, not knowing what decisions to make, not having like a rational plan to apply clothing to the body.
Correct.
And it would get emotional and it would get just like, not awkward for me, but like, I can't fix the way you look immediately on set. I can do some cheats, like I can use a darker color to hide a belly or things like that, some cheats, but I can't fix how you feel in your body.
Right.
And so that really, like, I just became passionate about changing how women feel in their bodies so they can show up powerfully, so they can be confident, so that they can have their voice and really use it. And so I created a personal styling and personal development program, Create Your Soul Style. And then I created a personal branding, personal styling, personal development program, the Embodied Brand. And that really has like, it's just taken off. It's been really fun.
Yeah. And, you know, there's several things we can totally unpack from that. And step one is just, let's just talk about people at the career crossroads, right? You know, we all...
The identity crisis of how do I show up in my own clothes at home and going out into the world.
Right. Or just who the hell do I want to be? Or what do I want to be? You know, like you talked about, you kept, you know, you were in sales, you were in marketing, you were an actress, and you were like, kept writing fashion. You kept writing fashion and you're like, ah, fashion. Ah, and you kept blowing it off. Mm-hmm. And how many of you listeners have had something like tapping you on the shoulder that is like left field, like so out of left field that you're like, ah, it can't be. And then Carrie, you just are like, well, and then I did it and clients just came and then look at what I've done.
Yeah.
And you were ignoring, you know, a natural talent that you have.
Yeah. And so let it be known that my mother's an interior designer. So I was trained by the age of four how to resource, look at colors, look at structure, look at everything from an aesthetic point of view, not only in the home, but on the body, because she was really good at that. She worked for some fashion designers too. So I had all this like creative influence. I just didn't have any credibility.
Right.
And so I spent my time building credibility until I could say I could really monetize it in a way. I mean, I was getting paid very little in the first round, like the first year. It was not a lot of money. But I didn't need to make a lot of money on that. I needed to be fulfilled and satisfied with the work I was doing.
Exactly. And you hit the nail on the head, fulfilled and satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, both you and I have had soul sucking jobs.
I'll never forget. I think I was like 32, 33 years old. And I was dating this guy, and it was in, while I was applying for, my sales positions in the medical sales, because I was just coming from like resort real estate, living in Maui and doing this whole project there. So I was, and it was during the crash too. So there was like jobs were like really hard to find. And this guy was like, look, you're going to be doing like, this is 80% of your life. You got to love it. And I was like, I know, but you know, I'm just going to like do this thing for now to build this skill. And he's like, you should be a consultant. You have way more skills than this. So I completely undersold myself for fear of actually stepping into what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I learned a lot. So I'm not saying that it was not a good experience. But the conversations I had with him in the process were really enlightening, because he was seeing me in a different way than I saw myself. And I was not confident to go out and get something that I really like could thrive in and that would be equivalent to the exposure that I already know and have in the world that I wasn't living into. But I wanted to have an international life again. I, you know, I grew up internationally. I know a lot of different systems and cultures, and I just wasn't living into that. And this lifestyle that I've created has completely allowed me to do that.
Right. And, you know, and I think all of us have had that same experience where someone sees awesomeness inside of us and we're like, really? Me? And you're not ready. You're not ready to like step into that greatness and that brilliance that you are. And I believe it's Gabby Bernstein, but I think I could be wrong. But she's like, you know, when you're ready, the teacher will appear.
It's so true. A lot of people say that though.
Yeah. And maybe she was the first person I heard say it, but it's true. Like your teacher appeared and, but you weren't ready to hear what he was trying to tell you. But now that you look back, you're like, damn, he gave me some
stuff. And I like still email him and say, thank you for little things that he had said to me in the way. Cause he was actually one of the most valuable inputs in my like personal journey.
Yeah. Sure. And you know, I just like, you know, you talk about, you know, we talk about style. Style is a journey, you know, because you talked about your mom, you know, your mom probably had this, like, this is how Carrie should look.
Oh my God. The culottes and the ruffled shirts and the,
right.
We lived in England and it was like, oh my God, I'd have to wear plaid culottes and patent leather shoes and
yes.
And the clown outfit to me.
Completely. And my mother was the same way. And I remember when I was a kid, we had to lay out our clothes for the week. And she would come in on Sundays and inspect them. and we could only wear jeans once a week. And she would come through and she would like inspect and she'd be like, change that shirt, change that. And she's like, my kids can't look like ragamuffins.
Wow.
Yeah. It's still to this day, my mom is very like, she's retired and you're like, you look at her, you're like, you know, you're not going anywhere, right?
Right.
And my sister and I are the complete opposites. We're like, yeah, we totally were switched at birth.
It's okay. It's totally okay. But so to go back to your question though about identity for the women like leaving their corporate life.
Right.
I get this one a lot because identity is actually one of the biggest things that women lack when they're trying to build a personal image, right? Like how people will recognize them and how they can have sort of timeless style.
Right.
I don't believe in trends. I think trends are a system to stimulate the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And we can fall prey to them. Now, it's true that there are designers that have incredible clothing and you want to buy something from them every season. And some people are really committed to that process. I'd say like the French, they're really into like, they have their clothing of the year and they have, you know, a very few, like not a large wardrobe. And then they'll get new ones, but the quality is incredible.
Right.
Unfortunately, with fast fashion, we don't have that standard as much anymore. It's really hard to buy stuff that will last. Even in the higher end space, the quality of materials is just going down.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're looking at identity and we're getting moving beyond trends, right? So the last thing you want to do is really like, look at a magazine and say, okay, this is what I need to buy to go shopping. Like, you know, when I go shopping, like this is the new checklist. You actually want to like look at your body, how you feel, where you live, what industry you're in or going into, what the architecture of your body is, so that if you need like more structure or more flow or like more expression and vibrant colors. Like I'm not a big vibrant color. Orange is like my only vibrant color. And it's just, everyone is different. So it's hard for me to be like, okay, like this is what you should wear. And, you know, there's a whole color theory on, you know, the color of your skin and your eyes and your hair, which is super true. And there's a whole emotional balance of being comfortable wearing that or not.
Right.
So it's complex. I mean, I read so many style books and I was like, none of this stuff really makes sense as like intuitive choices. So I created an intuitive way to do it.
Yeah. And I've always liked that intuitive way because you're right. Because if I looked at, you know, was it Color Me Beautiful? Was that like the first book that like really talked mm-hmm. about? So if I look at that and I look at the colors that I'm making the colors up, and if they say you should wear, you know, army green and mustard and I'm like, I hate those colors. So yeah. I'm never going to, and I'm going to put them on because it's the rules and I'm going
to. Yeah, but who wants to follow those rules if it doesn't feel good?
Right. And like the whole time I'm going to put them on and I'm going to feel like an automaton because I don't feel like those colors aren't my jam.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as you talked about, you know, you and I are entrepreneurs. I can wear whatever the hell I want. But yeah. As in a corporate structure, you know, is there a way for me, you know, through your system, is there a way for me to have that kind of corporate, you know, structure with a little personal panache?
Of course. Yeah. So it's a lot of times the materials and the, like the fabrics that we choose and then the patterns or textures of them. Most corporations have like, you know, a dress code, like you either need to be in a suit or a skirt. I mean, I think we're over the days of just skirts and dresses for women, but you know, you have to have like a suit and maybe a suit jacket. It depends. I mean, it really depends on the corporation. You could get away with jeans. But I would say like, if we're looking at, you know, like the banking industry, it's pretty typical to have that. So the way to get around it is to know sort of what your edge is, like how edgy do you want to be? Like, could you get away with wearing like faux leather pants and a really beautiful blazer, statement blazer, and like a nice silk shirt? Or You know, do you want to wear higher waisted pants that really like give you support around the belly and the midsection, and then have like a little flow on the bottom and a nice tucked in, like beautiful, crisp, white, clean shirt. And then with like a cropped blazer. So you want to look at, creating like statements, but in a simple way so that they're following the lines of your body. So you're not like adding extra weight onto your body, but you're also listening to the physical like signs inside your body. So like if you're really tired, it's going to be hard to like throw yourself into a structured suit and be like, okay, I'm running through the motions today.
Yeah, exactly.
So what I recommend is you choose a really elegant fabric like a silk. You can wear like looser silk pants with a nice like fitted turtleneck with a blazer, or you could wear like a looser silk shirt. So you start to feel the flow in the ease of the fabric, and that stimulates relaxation in the body. So you want to think of like, you know, if you could wear like a long flowing maxi dress, then that's great, because that's actually really releasing energy out of the body every time you step. It is all about having the confidence to embrace the look though.
Right.
Because if you don't have the confidence to stand there present in a long, beautiful dress, you're going to look awkward.
Right.
So that's why I have the whole like personal development side, because we got to overcome the awkwardness inside the body.
Right. So, you know, so we talked about that. So for, you know, our listeners, do I, you know, we talk a lot about intuition. Do I already intuitively know what clothes make me feel better? Or do I work through your personal development style to personal development side to say, you know what, maxi dresses, men are not for me, but I do like that structured blazer.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, you were doing my work. No. So I'll explain how the work works, because okay. I think so you can see the steps in it to make it more understandable. So the first section is about reclaiming the body and really having a breakthrough around your own body image. So we're taught to look in a mirror and see the size of our waist, the size mm-hmm. of our ass, the size of our boobs, and judge it if it's big enough or small enough.
Right.
That's how we're taught to look at our bodies.
Absolutely.
So I teach women to feel into their energy and their emotions. So I want them to understand actually what's physically happening inside their body. So they could wake up, they would maybe had a really bad night the night before. So maybe you know, someone broke up with them, or they got into a fight with their husband, and they may have like super sadness in their heart. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, okay. Like I gotta pull composure today with like this sort of weight in my chest. And some women are just masculine enough to get through and like, you know, hustle through that and not look at their emotions. My clients are women who are sensitive and get thrown off track by their emotions.
Right.
And so I'm helping them build a container that's stronger and stronger so that they can understand like, okay, like I have a little heartache today, but I'm going to adorn my body with clothing because I need to feel more structure and support. So the sadness in the heart might lead to like not feeling safe in the world. So what we'll do is we'll build like structure and support on the lower half of the body so that they feel contained and safe. So I use like high-waisted, no panty lines panties. And then like a high-waisted pair of jeans, let's say, or a high-waisted pair of, you know, suit pants, so that they have some structure around that lower region of their body. And then we want to build composure on the upper half. So you can have like a V-neck, sort of more relaxed shirt, or you can have a more structured shirt. It depends on your relational value to the quality of the fabric and the cut. If right. that makes sense. So it is, yeah. I mean, it's totally a journey, right? Like there's no hard, fast rule. But what I do is I have my women say like, okay, what does my body need to be effective and powerful as possible today? Where do I need support? Where do I need to release energy? Where do I need to be protected? And where do I need to enhance my energy? And if you look at it from that perspective, you start to see like, architecture of the body from a neutral place, so from a non-judging place. And then you can start to build structure with clothing on you based on what you need to feel awesome, not based on how you look and then not looking good enough.
Right. And And we touched on this before we hit the record button, but everything you just said, I love, because, you know, we all have, hopefully we all have, you know, a handful of things in our closet today that when we put them on, we're like, damn, I got it going on today. And what you just talked about is, how do you build pieces so that regardless of how you're feeling, you always have that, damn, I got it going on today.
Yeah. So what you do is you basically make choices around building a wardrobe that has the elements of feeling supported and feeling relaxed. So you may not be a maxi dress girl, but you might need to like a shorter dress, right? But you might need a skirt, or flowy stuff might not work for you at all. But if the body needs to feel relaxed, like maybe it's a little bit looser pant than a super like tight pant.
Right.
So if you think about it based on like what the physical need is, do I need to feel more like expansion in my body and relax because you're super tired, right? Or like you're just bloated. I mean, I even have two jean jackets. I have a winter jean one and a summer jean one, because the summer jean ones fits with just like a dress or a t-shirt. The winter one fits with like a sweater, right? Underneath it. Like I can't do both. And it took me a couple of years to figure that out. But if we look at like, so the first step is to reclaim the body. The second step is to create your identity. So that's claiming your style archetype. And when you really claim that person who you are and who you're becoming, it's about sending a vision into the future. So like I was a boho warrior, you know, I'm super nomadic, was raised globally, and have like, you know, gone through crazy experiences medically and personally, and have fought my way, you know, back to being on top of my life. So that identity boho warrior really works for me. But when I moved to Ibiza, I started to notice that the warrior was like too fighty for me, and it was actually draining energy from my body. So I made super conscious that like, okay, goddess energy is actually the new, like where I'm working towards. And like, I want to keep my style was not bohemian anymore. Like it just, I'm in a super bohemian place. And I was like, whoa, not that bohemian. Okay. I'm more chic. So if I can mix like a chic goddess, that feels more grounding and more future tripping in a positive way for me. So that identity I can live into, you know, there's like romantic rebel or elegant rebel. There's elegant pioneer. I mean, there's 300 different style archetypes. So we could talk about those all day long, but that's really about creating the identity. It's individual to everyone because, you know, one woman might see something that's romantic as floral. Another one might see it as lace, but hate florals.
Right.
So, you know, it's all about your bio-individuality, creating that identity. And then we somatically dress towards it. So that's applying clothing based on how you feel and how you need to feel.
Tomorrow is, what do I call it? Election day. That's what it is. Election day. So my phone has been ringing off the hook with vote for so-and-so and vote for so-and-so. So Derek, so my magical podcast editor, this is a good one for you.
He'll fix it.
Yeah. But I, you know, it's funny. I love how you said that, you know, the first step is to just identify, you know, what is your calling, you know, and know that it's going to change because, you know, we all change how we are, that you used to be this boho warrior and now you're more into that goddess energy. And I like that because I think about, it was Steve Jobs. Yeah. Steve Jobs was like, I wear a uniform. I only like to think about three things. And I wear the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Right. Now, that's his style.
Right. And so now I have some women out there who are like, I hate shopping. I don't even want to think about what kind of goddess I am. You know, how can I have a uniform?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely more of like a capsule style wardrobe. I live in a more capsule style because I have my five different colorways. I have, you know, my black, white, and green, and gray, and like I do like an army green. I'm big into army green, and then I have my orange, and then everything works together.
Yeah. I used to be that person who like, oh, I can only wear it like once or twice and then I'm done. But I've moved more into the capsule style that you just described, because it's just one, it's just easier on my brain.
Yeah. You know, Hollywood created that, wear it once or twice and get rid of it thing, because people were getting photographed so much, and we learned that like, oh, you can only wear something so many times until like you shouldn't be seen in it again, which is completely unsustainable.
Yeah.
I've had clothes for like 20 years. I have a dress that I wore in college. I still wear it all the time.
I laugh because it's like, I still have, you know, I have like classic pieces that I've always, you know, just collected through the years that I've had forever, that I'm like, unless there's like a giant hole or like a big stain in it, I'm like, I'm not getting rid of it, because it's just, it's evergreen. But when I finally broke myself of the, like, I can only wear it a certain amount of times, I'm like, is the paparazzi following me?
Exactly.
No!
It's so true. It's so, so true. Now, like a Marie Forleo in her everyday life wears things over and over again, but on her, you know, Marie TV, she's wearing new stuff all the time.
Right.
But she has a stylist that dresses her every single episode.
Right. But if you also think about, if I'm, you know, Marie Forleo, or if I'm some other influencer out there, so-and-so is tapping me on the shoulder and be like, can you wear this dress? Mm. And it's free. Where,
yeah, I don't know 100%, because that's not promoted. Like her.
No. I'm just saying Marie probably buys her own stuff, but I'm just saying other people that you see, you know, they might be, you know, so-and-so might ask to dress them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's for, you know, regular people.
Like award ceremonies. Absolutely.
Yeah. For regular people, that's just unsustainable.
Yeah. 100%.
So I've broken free of that, you know. The paparazzi is not stalking me, and so I can wear the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, you can. I give you permission.
Yeah, it took a long time for me to break that rule, and then I'm like, it just makes my life so much easier. But I like how you talked about your color pathway. So if someone were to work with you, where do they start?
We start with a body image breakthrough. So we go through the process to reclaim the body, and we go into learning about their energy, their emotions, and their core story. Because I help most women build personal brands, that's like what they're trying to do. They have, you know, an ulterior motive to be like, to really develop themselves and transform themselves. And usually there's something about their body or their life or some circumstance that's stopping them from actually being super successful. They may have had a little bit of success, but they haven't quite pulled the whole presence together. So I really help them, you know, when they start, we go through this process to understand where in their story is blocking their body from showing up powerfully. And once we kind of get that nut, it's like a diagnostic. I'm like, okay, this part of your body is feeling this. And what we're going to do is we're going to apply clothing to your body to support or release this area.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And so I created a color chart based on our energy centers. And we use the intensity of like that region, and because I created a spectrum on the color. So it goes from like, let's say bright red all the way down to black through all of like the tones, the hues and tones, and then all the way down to white. So you can have like darker for winter, lighter for summer, or darker for intensity or lighter for intensity.
Love it. Love it. And so this works for those who are entrepreneurs and those who are, you know, in that corporate space.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone is a personal brand, right? Like you have an image to uphold. You have to manage how people see you. Like you wouldn't go into your office like blasted wasted, because that would not be like look good on who you are for your work, right? So allowing yourself to step into your powerful presence and put an image out there, no matter what environment you're showing up. Like I do it when I go to a restaurant. I'm not going to show up like half-assed.
Right.
Yeah. So it's really about managing, you know, not controlling how the world sees you, because I really believe in like authenticity. But it's managing how your image is in the world, right? And, you know, you can be super opulent and ritzy and glitzy, but you could be bankrupt, right? And so like, that's not in alignment with who you truly are. So I'm always going to look at like, okay, how far can we stretch this? Where are you reaching into? How much do we need to like, you know, push the envelope here? Like I have a client who is serving like high-end jewelers. So we had to up her image to match it
right
a little bit so that they didn't look at her and think, oh, but you know, you're dowdy. Like, no, we need to actually like make her look, and she's actually really beautiful. So she was never really dowdy, but she just had never invested in style.
Right.
And so this has like been able to help her transform that.
Right. So you're,
she can walk into meetings in New York City and be totally comfortable.
Right. So, you know, that also says the same thing for if I'm looking for a promotion, you know, to up my style a little bit so that people look at me in a different frame of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. as well as, you know, just, or maybe I'm in sales and, you know, like you said, she's selling high-end stuff. I have to walk in high-end.
Yeah, you do. 100%. There has to be a little bit of like a matching to the marketplace. Right?
Yeah.
Like you can't work for a bank and show up in sweatpants.
No, because that's why I don't work for a bank.
Me neither. No, I love wearing sweatpants. Like I'm actually the girl that can like rock sweatpants to a party. I'll wear like a leather jacket and like funky sneakers.
Yes.
And like they'll have zippers and contrast stuff on it. And like, I'll just be like, this is who I am today, you know, and it's totally fine.
Yeah.
But I also live on a really funky island where everyone dresses like however they want.
Right. And I think now we got the whole athleisure has like taken over the world.
Yeah, it really has. Which right. I love. And I also, I'm like, it's okay. Like I like things a little more funky.
Agreed. I feel like, you know, if I see like one more pair of black Lulu pants and what do you call it, Steve Madden sneakers, I'm gonna kill myself. But you just said, it's like you can have like casual bottom and funky top, or you could have casual top and funky bottom. Like there's a way to just have that nice hybrid. Yeah. And I'm all about that hybrid.
Yeah. It's the dress up, dress down look.
Yeah.
Like I'll wear a beautiful flowing dress and then I'll put like combat boots on.
Right.
Just or like moto boots actually.
Yeah. Cause I'm all about like, how do I like still like add a little Zaza Zoo to myself, but be comfortable.
Yeah.
Cause I'm done with the uncomfortable clothes. I've been there, done that. And I want to throw, and I've thrown all those pants away.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to like clearing out the closet. You cannot add more in. I mean, you can, but it gets so cluttered that then you can't see. And then it builds like panic. And if you do a reflection of like the mind and the closet, woo.
Yeah. I did
super
a big
interesting.
Purge. Yeah. I did a big purge and it felt, and this is before the whole Marie Kondo thing, but I did a huge purge of like, this was my old life. And I didn't know why I was holding on to it. And I filled bags and bags. And I was like, I'm never going to wear any of this ever again. It's gone to me. It's done. And I felt like it was so freeing.
Yeah, I know. And like, when I moved to Spain, like I was like, oh, I mean, I didn't bring a lot with me. I came with two bags and, there's actually not a lot of great shopping here, to be honest. Like it's super bohemian and like very Ibiza style, which I love, don't love. And you can't find good quality unless it's like super, super designery, like thousands of dollars. And that's not where I like to invest my money, which is so funny because I'm like a style person, but I don't like to feel like I'm getting ripped off. So I like quality and I like value.
Right.
It can be hard to find in Europe. And I'm actually noticing now that I'm like more eco-friendly style. So, cause I love like the sensation of the fabric on my skin. So synthetics are starting to feel really hard for me to wear. I never was into polyester. Every once in a while I would use it, but, or wear it. But like Zara has become, you know, sort of the only place to shop that's reasonable. I mean, it's super cheap, let's say, but you know, like all of a sudden I noticed my wardrobe was filling up with like these like needs. And I was like, I don't like this stuff. Like, what am I doing? Like a bunch of shirts where I'm like, I've actually never worn you. I thought I was going to wear you and I never did. And yeah, like they just have to go.
Yeah. I've been, usually around this time of year, I go through my closet and I literally like, I just set it to a kitchen timer, 5 minutes. And I'm like, all right, I have 5 minutes and I'm going to find five things. And they're just going to go in a bag and just, I spend the next couple of months just doing it. And it just reduces the clutter of just crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Crap.
Yeah. It's just complete and utter crap.
Unless, I mean, if you're wearing it, like wear it, just wear it right till it drops. And like, you know, have some really, really, really beautiful pieces. Like I'm going to keep wearing that stuff.
Yeah.
But then I have other stuff where I'm like, I got it as like, oh, this piece has expired, so I'm trying to fill it and I can't find the quality. So I just sort of do a cheap, and unfortunately shipping in Spain is not like,
That stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every time I get on a podcast, I never know where the conversation is going to take me. And this conversation has been up, down and all around, but all great stuff. And the biggest takeaway that I have is like, just how I tell you about food and I tell you about fitness, you have to do you. And it's about stopping what, you know, we see on magazines, we see on TV, and just start to feel into like what clothes make you feel like a rock star. Mm. And I love Carrie's approach. It, you know, start with like your internal so that the clothes that you put on support you, that make you, you know, when you're having a bad day, you put something on, you're like, all right, I can get through today.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I mean, it's really about adorning the body. So it's like, if you feel like you need to be really reinforced, like in your power center, right underneath your, you know, breastbone, then wear something that's empire waist or like a peplum top, right? Where you're like creating a curve and a shape in your body, but it's also giving you physical structure.
Right. And, you know, she taught us, stop just looking at your boobs. Stop just looking at your belly. Stop looking at your butt and being like, how do I hide this shit? And really focus on the feelings that we all have in our body versus, you know, the hiding.
Yeah. And the feeling journey can be hard in the beginning. It's like, what? I don't feel good about my body, you know? And that's when people come to me. They're like, help me figure this out. Like, I can't. And one of the freebies that I'm giving you guys is the top 10 ways to revolutionize your style. And this is really the process, right? That it's not the total process, but it's like 10 steps to the process.
And I love that. And, you know, everything we talked about, you know, like you guys know, it's always in my show notes. Carrie, this has been a great conversation. So the one thing I always ask all of my guests, what is one thing that makes you feel magical?
You know, it's so interesting. I wouldn't have been able to answer this until recently, but I'm going to say two things. One is coaching.
Awesome.
And two is meditation.
Yeah.
I've just like taken it to a whole new level recently and it's beyond fulfilling.
Yeah. I've come back to meditation and I don't know why, you know, like you just stop doing something and you're like, that was stupid.
Why did I cut that out?
Yeah. Like I really don't know why. And I recently brought it back and I'm with you. It just is like, oh, so good.
Yeah. It's so good.
So Carrie, where can we find you on the socials?
Socials on Instagram, I'm Style by Monty. And on Facebook, Carrie Montgomery. I have a Build Your Brand build your brand brilliance, free Facebook groups that, you know, women can come in and ask questions. They can get advice from me. I do regular lives in there, always just guiding, supporting, and helping, asking questions to, you know, my audience to see what they need also. And then what else? Yeah. Oh, and KarenMontgomery.com, my website.
And she also mentioned that freebie, which is going to be linked up in the show notes as well. And, you know, I knew this was going to be a great conversation and it just exceeded all of my expectations. And I hope that for those of you listening, you've taken something away that, you know, there were so many different little nuggets that Carrie took that you're probably going to have to re-listen to this episode a couple times to get some of the juiciness out of it. And hop into our Facebook group, because I've been in her group for years and she always drops some like really good aha moments about clothes that you're just like, it's taken me a different level just thinking about clothes to be like, ah, this is me as an expression of me through style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true. And also through like the soul work, right? Because I'm super into like how to live soulfully and consciously.
Right. And you would have, you know, because of you, I would have never put those two together. But because of you, I'm like, I start to think about clothing in a very, very, very different light.
It's so true. I'm so excited that you are. Amazing. Right. Thank you so much for this, Kim. It was really incredible to connect with you. And I hope everyone enjoys the show. And if you have any questions, come over to the Facebook group.
Yeah, she is in there and she's giving some good stuff. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Carrie.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.